Good morning, Matt Waldman. It's finally here. Draft week is upon us. How excited are you?
I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying the lead up, but now that we're at the most insanity peak of of speculation and rumors and all that kind of stuff, now we've entered the carnival tent. So, we've been on the grounds for a while, but and watching all the outside acts and some of the medicine show stuff, now we're actually legitimately in the tent. So I'm kind of good with it because now you just enjoy the show for what it's worth and then and put it in perspective after.
And you have to realize I wrote a little bit about it in my notebook this week, lying season. I mean, it ends, right? It ends Thursday night. The lies stop being told, and nothing but truth is told from that podium, right? Everything that you've heard up to that point. And I've used the example of Brandon Bean this last week talking about, the Bills, like, well, we don't necessarily need an alpha wide receiver. And so, which is directly contrary to what he said April 3rd when they traded Stephon Diggs, and the word was, we will leave no stone unturned in the quest to replace him, right? So clearly trying to gain leverage. You're going to see a lot of leverage trying to be gained. I'm going to tell you, people, if you know they're lying, other teams know they're lying, the other teams know they're lying, because why? The other teams are also lying. It's lying season, but it ends Thursday night. And truths are told. We're not going to lie here, though. We're going to tell you nothing but the truth, because that's what we do. And the first truth is, get Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio available at mattwaldman.com. You'll set yourself up for great success. You'll get the post-draft RSP, which to me is the vital cog in all this. Start putting, the talents and abilities and physical characteristics that make these players stand out with a scheme and with a supporting cast and with the coaching staff, and see how all those things fit together to which is the most important part to me of the draft in the future. Like I get it, man. We all like to sit around and when everybody's grinding tape. It's really grinding tape. He really is doing that. But we're all, everyone's looking at things and seeing things and noticing all these great attributes and stuff. The rubber hits the road when the players find a team and we can start assessing all that in the
Help
meantime.
me fund my base lesson.
His base lessons. He needs the lessons. I've heard him play.
Do. I'm a beginner. I'm learning.
Matt Waldman, mattwaldman.com is where you get it, and I highly recommend it. I've been getting it since the first season it came out, and refer back to previous editions. It's a great investment over the course of time, all that. And so we'll let Matt talk about it here in a little bit, but we'll get into some of the feels it or fucks it first. So feeling or fucking the importance of landing spots, and I think just in general, as you're looking at these players and you're doing the assessments and you're doing super in-depth assessments, you're writing up notes on all these players. Do you start thinking in the back of your mind where players would be a good fit right at that moment?
When it's sometimes it's really obvious and sometimes it's not so obvious, so it's really kind of somewhere in between. But I'm totally feeling the idea that landing spot is vital. I mean, talent and landing spot are to me have almost have equal importance with most players. There are some players who can kind
Ascendant,
of
right?
transcend it.
Right, yeah. I can see that. So let's just broad generalizations. What are the some of the best landing spots for quarterbacks this year?
Well, I mean, I think more than anything, any team that's going to give you a quality offensive line and running game, and you need to have at least one do-it-all primary receiver. So the Vikings are really on that. I think they head that list pretty strong. I think the Raiders certainly have potential to be decent there because you have Devontae Adams, you have a coaching staff that I think has more of a clue about how to manage players. And I think Zamir White is a decent enough running back that if they get a second guy in there, whether it's of the veterans that they have and give them more time, or it's a quality rookie, they can probably provide that type of value as well. So, I mean, those teams come to mind right away. Washington looks pretty good on the surface in terms of the running game and the receivers. The offensive line worries me a little bit. The Bears worry me a little bit because they have great wide receiver talent, but is the offensive line getting any better?
If you think I'm not taking notes, people, think again. I'm totally writing things down as Matt's talking. And I agree with a lot of that. So And we'll talk a little bit about some of these situations a little more in depth here and some of the particular ones and who might be good landing spots. But in general terms, where are you looking at running backs landing? And, you know, I mean, I think we all have our, you know, from our fantasy perspective, the Cowboys are the obvious choice. The Chargers would be a choice, I think, as well. There are a handful of teams. To you, who are the best landing spots?
Well, certainly the Cowboys need some offensive line help. So I think that probably from the relative to outsized expectations by Cowboys fans with their team and the running back, this will probably be the most pressure-filled landing spot that could get good, but there is a setup for failure there because of that O-line needing work. I actually think the Cleveland Browns is one, and the Chargers are two of the best landing spots, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams look for another running back as well, even though Kyren Williams seems to be the high fantasy idea. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they pick someone in the early to mid rounds and gets everybody all like freaked out.
Is Zach Evans' era over then? Are we saying?
I don't know if it's over, but it hasn't even begun. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm not sure. I'm thinking more from the Kyren Williams standpoint, you know, right. You know, from the value, because I think it's more about, I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Evans still has an opportunity. We'll see. We'll just see where these guys get picked.
Right. I think it's interesting on the Rams in particular is, you know, it's easy to forget that Cam Akers was wildly successful down the stretch of the season before. And the assumption was, wow, he was so good. How can they not continue forward with him? There were clearly some issues beyond what we know off the field, but it wasn't hard to find his replacement.
Yeah. And what was fascinating is that they drafted, you know, remember they had Cam Akers, they drafted Kyren Williams. Nobody thought Williams was basically an afterthought. Then they drafted Zach Evans, and Kyren Williams turned into the big thing after everyone was thinking about Akers. So it's very possible that we could see a similar situation. It's just in flux. I think Cleveland's a good option because, look, Kareem Hunt obviously got fairly older. You know, he's near the end. You have Jerome Ford, but I don't know if the team's completely convinced that he's anything more than a compliment. Nick Chubb, they're you know, they got the salary cut and adjustment so that they can allow him an opportunity to prove himself. But they're probably going to have a hedge. And the Browns have one of the best offensive lines in the league. They center their offense on a strong ground game. So to me, that's probably one of the better opportunities.
Yeah, and by the way, Deonta Foreman is there. I just landed him in the 20th round of a best ball. So, you know, there are worse flyers out there.
Sure.
A guy who may come in and, you know, for the reasons Matt stated, right? So, and we'll see what happens.
What about Miami might be too, you know? Even though Achan is a big thing, you know, Raheem Mostert, we've talked about enough here. He's still there. That obviously they feel there's going to be an importance there, and they may be looking at who's, maybe we need another guy. I think they already have some options there, but that's another team worth considering.
For wide receivers, this is as easy as, you know, where the top, you know, the top of the list seems pretty obvious. Does it really, are there some ideal spots to you for the wide receivers landing?
I think more, yeah. I mean, I think that really more than anything, I think the Chargers are an ideal spot, even with Harbaugh and the reputation Harbaugh has as an offensive guy. You still have Justin Herbert, and you see what's going on there. I think that, you know, you need, to me, it's about the quality of the quarterback. Like, I know that people will be excited about Arizona. I'm not sure I'm as excited about that, just because I think Kyler Murray still has a lot to prove. He doesn't have much to prove as a fantasy option, but as an NFL option, I still think there's a little bit more to prove there. You know, I would probably add as another team that's worthwhile, you know, considering, I still think that, you know, I don't know if there's really another squad that I'm super excited about. There was one other team that was kind of coming to mind, Bob, but I can't.
Jacksonville, for me, is one that probably has a need for an alpha type if they moved up in the draft. I think Buffalo is the one.
Buffalo is.
Seems like there's multiple needs, right? So, and like, Like, I've heard like two theories on this. One theory is they trade up and get a super high-end guy, and that makes sense. Another one is they trade back and they get a couple in the second round and try and cobble it together. Do either of those appeal to you? One appeal to you more than the other?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that Buffalo is a is an intriguing option. I have a little low-level worry about Josh Allen. I think that he's still going to be very productive, but I think
we hear things.
But we hear things, and I just am not. I'm not totally sold that this Josh Allen thing is a stable thing. But if people were asking me to bet on it, I'd bet on it.
So, like, we hear the same things. I say fuck those things mostly because he's Josh Allen. But yeah. But there are things, right? And like, you know, you see the circumstances with Stephon Diggs. I mean, probably a reason Stephon Diggs wasn't happy where he was. And maybe some of them are related to Josh Allen. And maybe Josh Allen's level of commitment to success doesn't match everyone else's. So, clearly the numbers have been there. But, you know, a rookie wide receiver coming in, it's going to be very excited to be playing with him.
Yeah, he's going to get away with it. I think Josh Allen's going to get away with it from the standpoint of that he puts up the numbers that need to be there. But I wouldn't be surprised if coaches and players he kind of wears on them in a way. And I wonder if Ben Roethlisberger was the same way,
right?
You know, to an extent, and except that Ben did get to win a Super Bowl. You know, so as a result of that, it kind of mollified some of that or mitigated some of the talk. But I have a feeling that Josh is kind of maybe early to mid-career Ben Roethlisberger in terms of like behavior. Maybe not like, I'm not talking criminal behavior, but just we're questioning the commitment and maybe some of the decision making off the field.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So best landing spots for tight ends, I think, you know, I'll just throw out a couple at you right away because they're early in the draft. The Chargers, who could use a lot of things, including wide receiver, including offensive tackle. And Jim Harbaugh talked about that a lot just at the owners meeting a month ago. But also the New York Jets starting to gain a little buzz. And I had spoken with Andy Vasquez from NJ.com a couple weeks ago about this possibility. He thinks it's totally realistic that Brock Bowers lands there if he is available with that pick. But what to you would be ideal landing spots?
I mean, I think an ideal landing spot would be Kansas City. Because you give a guy a little bit of time to acclimate and work with Patrick Mahomes and with Travis Kelce. Because I don't think Noah Gray's the answer. I don't think anybody's believing Irv Smith is going to suddenly become the guy that he is.
Wait a minute. Noah Gray-slander. I didn't sign up for this.
I think Noah Gray's a nice move tight end, but he's a fast Gary Barnage type, have a good season if he's forced into it. But yeah, if you took Irv Smith and Noah Gray and combined them, maybe you'd have somebody as a successor to Travis Kelce's throne. But if you can get another Kansas product, you know, a Kansas State product specifically, maybe to sit behind Travis Kelce for a little bit, I'd be truly excited about that.
And you've been excited about this product for quite some time.
I think that would be a good fit. I think that Miami, while, you know, you look, Jonnu Smith sitting there, he's a nice bridge option, but I don't think they really have anybody else as a complete player who could fit into that. And eventually Tyreek Hill's going to be gone. They may maybe they'll extend Jalen Waddle. Maybe Eric Ezukanma will become something if they don't draft another wide receiver. But I think they need to keep stocking weapons, and I think this would be another opportunity for them to send. If Sano gets the George Kittle tag that some people are giving it, I'm not sure that it's quite that as a blocker. For sure it's not. But if you think he could develop along those lines, you know, I think Ben Sano is a kind of a plus version of Jonnu Smith. So that kind of suits what
Miami's got. So we're casting him to Kansas City, giving him that move piece that clearly they've been kind of after, right?
Well, that would be good. But Kansas City or Miami, either one. Because Jonnu Smith kind of fits that.
Yeah, anybody in Miami that can make a play.
You know, I agree. So I kind of dig that idea. Those are two spots where I think tight end would be a really good opportunity because you have a stable quarterback position and you have a good enough or great tight end in there so that they don't have to be the guy right away, but it will help you long-term for them to be there. Kind of a Trey McBride with Zach Ertz kind of scenario. And you saw what Trey McBride was able to do at the end of last year.
Right. So I think you kind of covered the notion or gave us a feel for how big an advantage it is for a rookie to play for a Chicago or Minnesota, maybe more so. But how big a disadvantage for a rookie quarterback coming in and playing in Washington or New England?
Well, I mean, if you're going to deal with constant pressure, look at Sam Howell. Because Sam Howell's grade, where I had him graded, is essentially that range where you could say, yeah, I can see that this guy has some starter potential, but he's going to need some time to work on things. And if he's put into a scenario where he doesn't have the infrastructure to really up his game, level up his game fast, and he has to overthink a lot, it can get difficult. And I think that we saw that with Sam Howell, that they gave up on him as quick as they did, but he was under a lot of pressure. He created a lot of pressure. So, I think that with New England, the problem's the opposite. The offensive line's okay, but the wide receivers don't get open. The result then is the same, you know, where you basically have there's too much time spent in the pocket and then you get hit. And then things are just, timing is off. You start questioning yourself. So I think with New England, the big question is, what are they going to do at wide receiver? Are they going to, you know, Kendrick Bourne's okay, right, when he's healthy. Certainly DeMario Douglas was nice as a slot option, but you need at least two more players who you feel like are competent. And is that the LSU kid from last year getting his act together? Is it, you know, is it Devontae Parker? Doubt it. So, looking at this, you need, to me, the best situations, or the, maybe not the best, but the situations that are just worthwhile. One good primary receiver who can run any route and get open against your top corner, and you need an offensive line. If you can have those two things, you're going to be in decent shape.
I'll just throw in here, because you were busy doing things during the free agency, Devontae Parker, now a Philadelphia Eagle.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But who else do they have? I forgot about
nobody.
That. My bad.
They have nobody, right? I mean, yeah. But that's the point. I think Matt Harmon wrote, how Matt Harmon laid it out, Kendrick Bourne coming off a torn ACL is the top receiver on this team, and that tells you everything need to know. And, I mean, we're all, a little bit enthusiastic about DeMario Douglas, right? And I think, but beyond that, there's nothing. Kayshon Boutte has not done anything.
Yeah, Schuster
has not done anything. No. I think Juju is kind of, seems like he's walked at this point. Yeah. So
KJ
Osborne they landed.
Yeah, but still, KJ Osborne is not a complete receiver. DeMario Douglas is not a complete receiver. Kendrick Bourne, when his ACL was healthy, is as close to a complete receiver as you had. Boutte has a chance to be that if he was a worker. And I'm just not sure. We'll see whether he will be. Now, we remember last year or 2 years ago, Ramondre Stevenson just kind of didn't see any time other than early in the season. And then year two really took off. So Boutte could have a chance with a team regime like this, with the talent in front of him. I think he's the most intriguing, if you're going to scrape from the bottom of the barrel and make a speculation add with your expanded offseason rosters, I would say that Boutte is probably one of those prime choices to add. And then you can cut without, major consequence if you need to. But I agree with you that they're in the market for a receiver. And we're going to see if Bill Belichick is the big reason for why they kept having this track record of bad receivers, or whether it's the scouting department or the remaining characters in the New England organization.
Right. And so I wonder, just kind of an aside to this, being a fucking, some kind of advantage. I mean, my feeling is it has to be some kind of advantage having coordinators in both Washington and New England who are former NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think that there's...
I mean, it's got to help, right?
It can help some. Yeah, I think it should.
At least an understanding of, you know, of being in that spot and coming into a team and...
From a fit standpoint, it should help. It's just whether or not the executives shopping for the groceries are going to put the right fits there. I mean, it's like putting Jalen Reagor in Philadelphia, you know, as opposed to, you know, maybe where he would have fit better.
Right. All right. Denver, the big news this morning, the big lie this morning. Denver, or whatever it is, Denver willing to trade up for a quarterback, do whatever they can to get one. Who should they target if that is indeed what they're all about?
It's a Browns fan, Drake May, as a I would say for Denver and what they do well, or what Sean Payton likes to do, let's put it that way. I think Michael Penix or Bo Nix are the two options that I would want to see. I don't think it's going to happen that way. But for me, I think it's you want quarterbacks who move well in and outside the pocket. You want good decision makers for Sean Payton. You want guys that don't invite pressure, who can play in the timing game, throw in the middle of the field, and not be late doing it. And I think those are the two best options of the quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams.
Right, and we've heard, if you've listened to the Audible over Football Guys, you know Cecil Lammy thinks it'll be J.J. McCarthy as the apple Payton dies. I think the key characteristic here is not pissing off Sean Payton. Like, that is job number one for a Denver quarterback, according to Russell Wilson.
And McCarthy will be okay from the short and intermediate passing game standpoint. We'll see if he can deliver in the deep game. He's not bad. He's not bad from that standpoint. But, you know, again, they'll be getting another Jake Plummer. That'll be interesting to see if they can get an upgraded version of that. There's potential there.
Well, while we're talking about Denver, Cortland Sutton, a little talk that he could be traded, and then the latest talk is he won't be traded. Cecil Lammy thinks he will be. But, well, you know, that aside, what is he in fantasy terms if he remains in Denver playing with a rookie quarterback?
Feed me 8 times, I'll drop 2 to 3, and I'll make 2 to 3 big catches, and you know, we'll do fine. You know,
Bravo.
he's that,
I'm feeling that.
He's the black hole power forward that you've got to keep feeding the ball to, and if because if you stop when he's like 3 for 7 in the first quarter, you're gonna lose. But you at least have a chance of staying competitive, even though you may still have a losing team with him, if he goes on a hot streak and catches 5 out of the next 7.
Or he gets those 10 touchdowns, you'll be glad you invested in him as your wide receiver 4 or 5 in best ball drafts, which one of us has been doing a little bit of. Justin Jefferson. So looking at this last year, Jefferson down the stretch when he came back from his injury, weeks 14 through 18, ranked 3rd in fantasy points per game. He was playing with guys who didn't finish games, Josh Dobbs and Jaren Hall, who were supplanted by Nick Mullins, who got a couple of those starts as well. Not a high-end list of quarterbacks for sure. So, Justin Jefferson with Sam Darnold or a rookie, we're not concerned about maybe what Jefferson's going to do. What can Darnold be with Justin Jefferson?
You know, the answer really, I think the best thing to say is that he'll maybe be another 300 to 500 yards richer than what he was with the Jets. Only just saying is that really the big issue with Sam Darnold is what he does in the middle of the field, or what he doesn't do in the middle of the field. And so what Justin Jefferson gives you on the boundary, Sam Darnold can provide that. And he'll be competent at times in the middle of the field. But the biggest issue is, can he solve the NFL questions of coverage that have plagued him most of his career? And is, you know, I think the offensive line is strong enough, but I'm just not convinced I just think that he's really more of the Joe Flacco bridge to the next Lamar Jackson.
Basically, fuck Sam Darnold, feeling the rookie, whoever it is.
That
rookie's going to get a chance. And I think, like we said at the top, or you kind of outlined it, I mean, a great receiving core, a good coach who seems to understand the position and understand how to run an offense. I think there's a lot of good things about whoever winds up in Minnesota that will be appealing, yeah, whether they start right away or not. Maybe one of the things that you like about it is maybe they won't have to start right away.
Yeah, I think they're going to, you know, I think this is the spot where maybe Drake May has his best chance at success. But I would say that it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride. It'll still have potential for being a bumpy ride. And I would say that while Drake may have his best chances for success there, if it doesn't work out well, Justin Jefferson is going to be asking for a trade before his contract's up.
All right, let's do some quick hitters here. Devontae Smith currently going as wide receiver 25. Just got a new deal last week, making $25 million a year, only one of six wide receivers. There will be more soon enough, I can assure you that. Jalen Waddle got his option picked up. He's going as wide receiver 20. Who are you feeling more? Go ahead, take the cheaper piece.
I absolutely am.
How about in a vacuum? How about equal value?
Like if they were in
same price.
Same price? Based on the offense that they're in, I would probably go with Smith. But it's close. I mean, I could see 5 out of 10 scenarios where Waddle could be the better player. Part of it is because I think Waddle is just frankly a better wide receiver, even though I know there will be people who will disagree with that. I think Waddle's better at the catch point. I think that he's a little bit more physical. I think he's better, after the catch, whereas Smith is maybe a little bit better of a route runner in certain areas of the field, but not completely on the outside against physical coverage, where I think Waddle can be a little bit better. So, but you know, I look at the offense with AJ Brown on the opposite side and what Jalen Hurts can do as a quarterback. And I think that I'll give Smith just the slightest edge.
Yeah, I'm on Smith too as well, especially given the slight discount for sure. J.K. Dobbins signs with the Chargers, reuniting with both Gus Edwards and Greg Roman. Royce Freeman lands in Dallas. Feeling or fucking either of them as a possible contributor, maybe a late round best ball flyer or any of those things?
I'm absolutely taking the flyer on Dobbins because I love his ability. We know obviously that it may be difficult to fully believe in him, but and especially when they draft somebody else. But I think that the idea that they brought Edwards and Dobbins in, one is that they translate the Greg Roman offense pretty well, so that they know that they can either help as coaches on the field or be able to provide that kind of skill. And I'm going to believe in Dobbins at the price that he's going to go at until he's gone. You know, right, until he's no longer in the league.
He's outside, you know, outside running back 20 range right now on the best balls, right? So total free square play, that's probably going to rise up.
Must buy for me.
Yeah, he'll probably rise up. If he hits round 17 or whatever, still, I'm fine in that range as well. Wrote a little bit about this one, this week's notebook, of Puka Nacua version 2.0 surpassing version 1.0.
Fuck that. No. I mean, I like Puka Nacua. I think that he played great as a rookie, and certainly he's going to be a big part of the offense. But that was an incredible season, and I'm more skeptical. I think that defenses will work ways to exploit what he doesn't do extremely well. And I think that we'll see a little bit more of a rebound elsewhere.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, we'll talk about. Let's talk about him. The Cooper Kuppless season kind of forced Nakua's hands. Let's assume we have Cooper Kupp back. He's going fairly early in best ball drafts. People are on board with this. Nacua, by the way, going in round one almost exclusively. I've rarely seen him fall into round two. Cooper Kupp available often in round three. Maybe you still see him in round four on occasion. Cooper Kupp rebound fielder, fuck it.
I'm feeling it. I mean, I think it's going to be more of an even out thing where Nacua, you wish went around round three or round four, and Kupp, you wish went around six or seven, but they'll probably even out where they'll both be worth like round five or six picks. You know, I think that's where they're likely going to have that. Like, we'll go back and next year we're going to see, oh, they're both round five values. And then one of them probably going to be a little overrated because of age maybe, but that's about
hit that round 20 DeMarcus Robinson, everybody, and do yourself a favor just in case.
He's still in some dynasty leagues for me.
Strong finish for him last year. So talking about all these pieces, Nacua, Kupp, Robinson, etc., Colby Parkinson, all these new pieces, all these old pieces and new pieces. Sorry, it had to be said. Like, Matthew Stafford is like going as quarterback 19 or so right now. Solid value for a quarterback too, I would say. What's your level of confidence? Feeling Matthew Stafford performing at a wide receiver or quarterback one level?
At QB 19 is his ADP?
Yeah.
Oh, feeling that all day long. I mean, I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's any quarterback he's capable of that. The offensive line is decent. The receivers are back. Right now, you've got to invest in that, if you ask me, just because, I mean, late round quarterback. That's what we often talk about, and he's a shining example of that.
Right. There's a handful of them that are available very late that seem pretty damn solid to me. Yeah. Speaking of people available late, running backs available late. Chuba Hubbard's running back 39, Miles Sanders running back 60. You know, Hubbard, you know, I think Beal goes in as de facto starter. I mean, this is clearly an indication that the fantasy nation is expecting a running back to land in Carolina. But beyond that, are you feeling Chuba Hubbard as a running back 39?
Yeah, I mean, that's late enough that I'll take the chance on him. He shows some improvement as a decision maker, you know, over the years. He's gotten better every year, and that's what you want to see from young players. Miles Sanders, on the other hand, has kind of stagnated as a player, and it was apparent, like, from game one that Chuba Hubbard was the better performer in Carolina. Now, and with the Panthers upgrading their guard scenario, they're, you know, on their depth chart, that's helpful, you know, both in the hopefully with pass protection, but also in the run game. So yeah, I'll take a shot on Hubbard at running back 39 for sure. And Miles Sanders, where's he going again? What was that?
60.
I mean, why not? I mean,
running back 60.
You know,
free square, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like the end of the draft play. Somebody could get hurt. People running back.
I mean, Tarik Cohen might still be, you know, still on the roster. He might be finally ready to do something, but I doubt it. I think we'll just keep an eye on Tarik Cohen. I'll just say that. Keep an eye.
All right, there's a player available by trade. I haven't heard of much interest in him. Should there be feeling or fucking an NFL team acquiring Zach Wilson and all that goes with that? The Zach Wilson and fucking. We won't get into that, but go ahead.
No. I mean, if you
there should be no interest. It's done.
It's I would say for trade, no. Just wait for them to cut him, and then you can sign him and see what's available there. But why are you going to sink draft picks that you can get quality special team play or somebody who dropped due to a reason that you know isn't that big of a deal based on what you've scouted? What you've scouted on Zach Wilson is that he needs time to sit. And you don't know what you're going to get out of that even after he does so.
Fair enough. Sorry, Zach. You have a great future, though, young man, I'm told, on reality shows. All right. So that's it. Draft is coming, Matt. Go ahead and tell everybody one more time what they need to do to hold a rookie scouting portfolio and what they'll expect right after the draft.
Yeah, mattwaldman.com is where you can get it for $21.95. And you get the pre-draft already. You'll download that pretty much right after you pay for it. And then the post-draft, what you're going to get is analysis of team fit. You're going to get a cheat sheet that is tiered and everybody on one, you know, on basically two pages. Over 200 players usually ranked on that, so more than enough for every league. They're going to be ranked, tiered, color-coded, and there's going to be an X value, which is a sweet spot value that tells you where the difference of basically where you should draft them based on where I've re-ranked them and then also my study of ADP in leagues that have recently drafted these players, so that if, you know, I like, you know, if I like, you know, Jaden Reed more than most people, then instead of me saying he's the fifth best receiver on the board and you need to take him fifth overall when you could get him maybe 11th, you know, wide receiver 11, I show you the sweet spot of where you can get him without the shot of someone sniping him from you. So that's available. You get depth chart analysis that I look at all the players on the depth chart and their contract situation, so you can kind of see how I'm projecting it plays out over the next 2 to 3 years. So, you know, all of that, you know, it's probably about 120 to 150 pages of info, And the cheat sheet for most people is just worth, that's worthwhile. And I give it to you within about 7 days of the last day of the NFL draft. And I give often email an updated, like, early cheat sheet that's subject to change. But for those of you who are drafting, like, right after the NFL draft, maybe with by the third or fourth day after, I send an early version of the cheat sheet so that you at least can look at the first 2 to 3 rounds and feel like you got a handle on it.
Verified customer writing in support of this. My review is yes, buy this.
Well, I appreciate that.
Feeling you know, that. Feeling you know, like the verified purchasers.
And,
right?
And you know, look, Bob and I are good friends, and Bob's a little biased, but I'll tell you a little something about Bob. If Bob ain't feeling it, he's going to tell you where to fuck that. So if he,
I'm not going to say anything nice about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. I appreciate
it. All right,
that.
Everybody, that's it. Next time we reconvene here a week from today, there will be players on teams, and we'll have some stuff. You'll catch Matt on my radio program. I'm doing a Friday night roundup show on SiriusXM from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. Kind of go over some of the picks and talk about some things. Matt will visit me one of those hours, so be ready for that. Matt, you'll go to his Twitter right now, at Matt Waldman, find all the places he'll be in the interim. He's going to be very busy as we go through the draft, and so will I. So check it all out on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, at Football Guys, and on our Twitter feeds, at Football Diehard, at Matt Waldman. Matt, love you. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.